Good morning, everyone. I am here to introduce someone who probably doesn't need an introduction, but it's always nice when we have a guest minister here with us. Reverend Adams is in Van Cleek Hill, I think, today. Somewhere. And we are so fortunate to have Alex here to lead us in our faith worship. So welcome, Alex, and we look forward to hearing your message.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here at St. John's Presbyterian Church. It is an honor and a privilege to be leading you in worship this morning, and of course, a welcome to those who are viewing us online. It is always a pleasure to have you joining us, either this morning or any time in the future. Just a few announcements that I'd like to draw to your attention before we begin worship. Later this afternoon at 4 p.m., Trinity Anglican Church is hosting a hymn sing. Everyone is welcome to attend. And this is also going to be the last opportunity to hear Owen Spicer at the organ at Trinity because he will be starting a new position in Ottawa. We've had the honor of having Owen perform for us on a few occasions. And so if you'd like to go to Trinity Anglican Church just down the road a few blocks at 4 p.m., everyone is invited. The Cornwall Interfaith Partnership is hosting a community conversation on the topic, What is Peace? This will be held at Knox St. Paul's United Church at 800 12th Street East on Saturday, June 6th from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you're interested in attending, you can register through their Facebook page or on the QR code that was on the screens earlier. They will flash up at the end of the service as well. This coming Saturday after that, June 13th, Colleen Adams will be hosting a church cleanup as part of our Adopt a Street initiative. We are stewards of creation, and as a downtown congregation, it is a perfect opportunity for us to be a part of this community, serving as ambassadors of Christ. So if you'd like to take part in helping keep our city clean, you can meet by the kitchen door entrance at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 13th and see how many pieces of litter you can pick up, because I'm sure there's going to be more than one to find on the ground. Supplies are provided, so all you have to do is just bring yourself and a watchful eye for things that don't belong on the ground. A reminder that camping season is quickly approaching. If you or someone you know would like to experience the joy of summer camp, let us know. We have two amazing camps in our region, Camp d'Action Biblique and Gracefield Christian Camp. If you have questions about Camp d'Action Biblique, you can speak to Anita, who is right over in the back corner, or you can speak to me if you have questions about Gracefield. A reminder to everyone that the office will be starting new hours of operation as of tomorrow. The office will be closed on Monday and Tuesday, and from Wednesday to Friday, the office will be open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. A special welcome to Julie Choi, who will be sharing her violin skills with us this morning. Thank you so much for coming. It is always a privilege and an honor to expand our music ministry, so we look forward to having her joining us as part of our worship this morning. And of course, the final announcement that I will be asking for your indulgence is that I am very excited to be heading up our 240th anniversary planning this year. As you've already know, I have taken on the leadership position, and as it is our tradition in the Presbyterian Church, I cannot undertake this task alone. I require help in putting together the plans for this coming anniversary, which means that I am asking for volunteers to join me on the anniversary planning team. But let me make this perfectly clear. Just because you are joining the team does not mean you will be taking ownership or leadership of the events themselves. I basically need people to help to filter out ideas, to make sure that we have a nice comprehensive plan, somebody that can communicate with some of the other people that are going to be running the events, and so I need people to join me. And of course, I need somebody to keep my ego in check, lest it balloon to the size of this sanctuary. And so if you feel called to join me in helping to plan our 240th anniversary, I'd be happy to have you on board. As part of the anniversary celebrations, I will be reaching out to all of the various committees to submit ideas for consideration. Again, just because you submit an idea does not mean that you have to run the idea. I'm just looking for ideas for us to consider, and then we can pick and choose which ones will work best for us and work as a team to implement them together. It obviously won't be possible to do everything, but every idea could lead to something maybe incredible, so don't be shy with the ideas. Speak to me if you'd like to be part of the planning team. And as we gather for worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign and reminder that Christ is ever present with us as we align our hearts and minds to the worship of God's glory. I invite you to join together in the responsive call to worship. The words will appear before you on the screens. Holy are you, source and creator of all things.
We praise you for your gift of life.
Holy are you, son and redeemer of all things.
We thank you for your gift of salvation.
Holy are you, spirit and sustainer of all things.
We worship you, our guide and our truth.
Let us gather together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you are three in one and one in three. We praise you, glorious God, source of life, maker of heaven and earth, who created us in your image and called us good. We praise you, Jesus Christ, born in our flesh to teach us how to love, offering us grace and mercy through your sacrifice. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring us and calling us to greet each day as a gift, sharing love and gratitude with one another. Holy Triune God, we praise you for your mystery and mercy. Reveal to us how to live as your people and let us witness your wonder and grace. This we pray in your most glorious name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 299, Holy, Holy, Holy. The words will appear before you on the screens.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty,
Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession. The words will appear before you on the screen. God of mystery and mercy, you know every hidden corner in our life. You see the sins we hide and the sins we don't hide. You see the sorrows we bear, the problems we cause, and the possibilities we face. You see our manipulation of the world, bending your creation to our human way, causing damage and destruction. We have failed as guardians of love, choosing ourselves over others. Holy God, we seek your forgiveness and mercy. Help us to see the truth of your grace and lift us out of the darkness, transforming us into beacons of light. Amen. The Apostle Paul teaches us that if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. Thanks be to God so that we can all make a new start through God's gift of forgiveness and peace. And as a sign of that forgiveness, let us take a moment to turn to our neighbor and share God's gift with one another through the passing of the peace of Christ. Let us join our voices in singing hymn number 328, This Is My Father's World. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screens. Would anybody else like to come up? Good morning. How's everyone doing? It's the end of May. Yay! Yay! I mean, summer's coming up. Yay and no, we have a mixed reaction. No more school. Aw, darn. It's probably going to be a very warm summer this year. So do you know what today is? Sunday. It is Sunday. That is correct. Is it a special Sunday? Yes. Yes and no. The answer is yes. It is a special Sunday. What special Sunday is it? Did you read the bulletin this morning? No. No. Bulletin's so boring, right? It's just all a bunch of those words nobody really cares about, right?
I do, but I can't read.
Ah, not yet. Soon, though. Soon. This morning is called Trinity Sunday. Do you know what the word Trinity means? It's a big word. Trinity is a fancy way of saying three. So we have tri, which is usually three, Trinity. Now, It's important to understand that as a church, we worship one God. But that God comes in three different forms, and that's very confusing. That is confusing for children such as yourselves. It is confusing for the adults in the room, and it is confusing to people who dedicate their entire lives to studying the Bible. People smarter than all of us combined in this room have been spending years trying to explain the Trinity in a way that everybody can understand, and it still has not been done. So we're going to take a stab at it this morning, but we're going to do it in a bit of a different way. We're going to be thinking of God as three different things that we can do towards other people: grace, love, and communion, which is a big fancy way of saying that we can show love, compassion, and being together. And this Sunday actually marks a specific time in the Christian calendar called Ordinary Time. And it's not because it's a boring time, but rather it's the time that we take from Christmas all the way to Easter. We take all of that time that we spent from Christmas to Easter, and we think about the ways in which we can take that information and apply it to the community. How do we go out into the world and show love and compassion and kindness and all those different things? And this morning's Sunday school lesson is actually aligning with our lesson this morning on something called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is basically like Jesus saying a final goodbye to the disciples before departing from the earth. And he tells us to go out into the world and to live out his teachings. So we're going to be reminded of what some of his teachings are and how we can go out into the world and share them with others. And it doesn't have to be anything big. You don't have to start a charity and cure cancer. It could be something as simple as being friendly to a friend or a stranger. Something nice and easy and something to think about. So why don't you all go down to Sunday school? We will see you later in the service because we'll be joining our choir for a special piece of music. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you have a lovely time downstairs. Let us gather our hearts and minds to prepare ourselves to read the scripture. Let us pray. Holy God, you have spoken through your living word, Jesus Christ. Your spirit speaks through the scriptures. Help us to understand your wisdom so we may know your will and undertake it faithfully. Amen.
Reading from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. Then on that day, David first appointed the singing of praises to the Lord of Asaph and his kindred. O give thanks to the Lord, call his name, and make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to them. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, the judgments he uttered. O offspring of the servant Israel, children of David, his chosen ones, he is the Lord of our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn praise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statue, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for inheritance. When there were few in number, of little account, and strangers in the land, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. The Lord had made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, "The Lord is King." Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exalt everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and rescue us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord.
The second reading is Psalm 8, reading responsively. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established,
what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet,
all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The next reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Be restored. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Thanks be to God for his word.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Nope. Let us gather our voices together as we sing hymn number 778, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. The words will appear before you on the screens. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. Welcome to Ordinary Time, a season in the Christian calendar that follows Pentecost Sunday, which we had last week. Easter is finally over. Thank goodness for that. Because as somebody who works behind the scenes, it is probably one of the busiest times of the year planning extra moving parts. And so you have no idea how relieved I personally am for Easter to be over. But don't get me wrong, Easter is a fantastic season. It is important and a core part of our Christian faith. But Ordinary Time presents us with a unique opportunity that we must take advantage of. The celebration of Christmas and Easter are behind us, and the fiery tongues of Pentecost leave us with a burning question. What now? We begin with Trinity Sunday, probably one of the most confusing Sundays of the year, and it is one that preachers everywhere dread because they have to choose how to explain the Trinity, especially in a way that they themselves may not fully comprehend. It is a time dedicated to reflecting on the nature of God, which on the surface seems contradictory. Our faith is monotheistic, meaning that we worship one God, yet Trinity refers to three. Now don't fret, I'm not going to spend the time trying to explain the Trinity because I'm not turning this into an academic lecture. Although I do enjoy the occasional lecture, I'm sure most of you don't, and I'm sure a lot of you are wanting to get a nice hot cup of coffee to enjoy with friends following the service, so I won't take up too much time. Instead, I'd like us to reflect on a different kind of Trinity: grace, love, and communion. Those words are used in the benediction of this morning's reading from 2 Corinthians 13, where Paul writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Grace, love, and communion. This Trinity is still a little vague, but it's one that is easier to understand. We gather here today after the Holy Spirit's blessing at Pentecost, compelling us to witness the glory of Christ. That blessing does not stop at Pentecost. It carries over to Ordinary Time. We have arrived at a moment of final understanding, the day before we set off and explore the opportunities that await us in the coming months. Just as the 11 disciples had gathered together to Galilee, as Jesus had directed them following his resurrection, we too are gathered here at Christ's invitation. We have come to witness one final moment before his ascension. And upon gathering, the disciples worshiped Christ, but they had doubts. They questioned themselves, and who could blame them? Jesus continuously spoke about his death and resurrection, something that would cause great concern. I know that if I had a friend who kept talking about dying, I would be concerned for their well-being. And yet Christ's death and resurrection was witnessed, something that is normally impossible by human standards. I too would have doubts if I saw somebody die and then come back 3 days later. That would cause a few questions to run through my mind. And I'm sure that many, if not all of you, have some kind of doubt or question in your mind when it comes to faith. Because no one's faith is perfect. Doubts and questions are part of how we grow. And thankfully, we have one another to rely on for support as we tackle those questions and explore those doubts. And once the disciples began to process what they saw, Jesus spoke to them. And he starts with, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." A very reassuring statement following his death by human hands. There is no longer any doubt. The impossible has occurred, and Jesus' resurrection offers the final piece of proof for those of little faith. And then Jesus issues a final command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. For the first few thousand years after Christ's last few minutes on earth, generations of disciples have gone out to make more disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching people to obey Christ's teachings. Some disciples took that command a little too forcefully, to put it lightly. As time went on, the tools used to make disciples of all nations became judgment, hatred, and isolation. Notice what I said there? Judgment, hatred, and isolation, not grace, love, and communion. And the primary example that we have here in this country is the residential school system, rooted in all three of those tools to make disciples of all nations. Judgment. We Christians took one look at the First Nations peoples and their way of life and judged them to be savage, in need of civilizing and saving from their backward culture. Hatred. We Christians began to hate that they didn't want to believe in Jesus because they already had their faith. How dare they believe in a God that is not ours? How outrageous that they don't think the way we do. There must be something wrong with them. It must be the devil coercing them. We cannot let this stand. Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations. We must convert them and make them see the error of their ways. Isolation. We Christians decided to remove children from their homes, to save them from their corruptive parents because we knew better. We placed them in schools designed to kill the Indian in the child. How very Christian of them. Judgment, hatred, and isolation. Tools that were used by those who sought to make disciples of all nations by any means necessary. And sometimes those tools are still used today. When somebody doesn't fit our particular worldview, we shove the Bible in their face saying that they're going to go to hell if they don't turn to Jesus. Because they love someone that's a little different than what we had in mind. Or because they live in a certain way that doesn't exactly align to our personal values. Or even worse, when churches decide to monetize faith, setting up grand stadiums and giant spectacles, all in the name of making disciples of all the nations. But thankfully, we have something better, infinitely better than judgment, hatred, and isolation. We have grace. We have love, and we have communion. Grace comes from Jesus Christ, given to us freely through his death and resurrection. Love comes from God, who granted us the ability to share that love with one another. Communion comes from the Holy Spirit, inspiring us to gather together in this place and others to share a time of holy worship and fellowship. These three things, grace, love, and communion, are the keys to the church's future. They always have been. And some disciples throughout the past 2,000 years have wielded those tools. And of course, others chose a different, more destructive path. Our calling is clear. And it is time for us to cast away the things that hold us back. We must no longer allow judgment, hatred, and isolation to take hold of our faith, locking us in a constant state of fear and anxiety. Budgets and attendance numbers take center stage in the operation of a church rather than what truly matters, making disciples of all nations, and I'm not referring to the increase of the number of believers. I'm not talking about filling the church with more people physically. Making disciples of all nations doesn't just involve showing people the Christian faith to invite them in on Sunday morning for worship. Instead, Jesus challenges us to expand our boundaries, not define them or limit them. How do we live our Christian lives outside of weekly Sunday worship for an hour? That is the ultimate question. Because our Christian faith is not just you sitting there and listening to me talk for 20 minutes a week, or any minister talking for 20 minutes a week. It is not a badge of honor or a weapon used to coerce our neighbors into becoming like us. Our faith requires us to wield the Trinity in a way that offers growth and prosperity within creation. We cannot use the tools of judgment, hatred, and isolation because we saw what happens when we did. It led to abuse, scandal, and genocide in this country. Not one of our proudest moments. Our answer to the calling of Christ is simple. Grace, love, and communion, the three things that the Holy Triune God provides for us. And Trinity Sunday is the perfect opportunity to take everything that we've experienced over the past 6 months, from Christmas to Pentecost, and to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. This is accomplished not by judging people through scripture or bullying them into submission through hatred or isolating those who don't fit our particular worldview. Instead, let us take this opportunity to truly and physically go out into the world to make disciples of all nations by showing them what it means to be Christian. To be a Christian means going out and feeding the hungry, relieving the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing those with nothing, caring for the sick, and being a companion to the imprisoned. This sanctuary is not a social club. It is not a place to hide away from the problems of the world. This is God's house, open for all. Our Christian faith demands obedience to Christ's teachings, and so I call upon each and every one of us to take up the Trinity and make disciples of all nations, regardless of age, gender, sexual orientation, nationality, faith, creed, criminal record, academic background, economic status, how tall or wide they are, what language they speak, or any other defining feature that you can think of. Go and make disciples. Show them what it means to be a Christian, not a Bible thumper who weaponizes scripture to justify their hatred. The church's holier-than-thou attitude has no place in this world. Instead, we are called to serve. This is a gifted congregation filled with individuals who are generous and skilled. We cannot take this call alone. We are meant to support one another in this calling. We are quickly approaching our 240th anniversary, a legacy that not many churches have the ability to claim. And we cannot allow that legacy to be self-serving. It cannot be a pat on the back for surviving for 240 years. Our anniversary must be one that takes the opportunity to heed the calling of Christ. Let us show the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by showing compassion in the face of judgment. Let us show the love of God by supporting a local organization that works to combat hatred. And let us show the communion of the Holy Spirit by getting involved in our local community, not standing on the sidelines watching it like a zoo or a museum, by physically becoming a part of it outside of those doors. Let us welcome our brothers and sisters around us and show them what 240 years of ministry looks like. Not some dusty, washed-up has-been, but a living, breathing community that welcomes everyone in grace, love, and communion. Now go forth and serve. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith comes from Living Faith, chapter 9.1, Our Mission, and the words will be responsive and will be before you on the screen, and I invite you to join me in our affirmation of faith. As God has sent Christ to us, so Christ sends us into the world.
We are here to proclaim Christ in the word and deed.
Mission is evangelism, the offer of salvation to all people in the power of the Holy Spirit to be received through faith in Christ. Mission is service, a call to help people in need.
And to permeate all of life with the compassion of God.
We are called to participate in the sharing of God's love poured out for all creation. As we commit ourselves to supporting the calling of Christ, may our gifts offer an outpouring of our love for God and our willingness to put that love into action in God's world. Let us now offer to God our tithes and offerings.
Oh,
God of overflowing love, receive our gifts as signs of our love and commitment to live for you. Bless our gifts and our lives that they may accomplish more than we can ask or imagine as we follow Jesus, equipped by the Spirit to serve you well and wisely. Amen. Please be seated. Let us gather together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, your glory is beyond compare. Your mercy is boundless, and your love for us has no end. We seek your compassion as we face a chaotic world. We pray for your peace. May it calm our hearts and minds, so that we may open ourselves to serve others in your name. We pray for our church and your church around the world. These are uncertain times, filled with doubt and fear. Grant your people love, our leaders, those in public service, members of our community, fill them with love. Lead them to opportunities to love, rather than selfish ambition. Glorious God, we give thanks for your perfect creation. This world is filled with wonders and marvels, perfectly formed with your divine power. As stewards of your creation, we are tasked with caring for creation, and so we pray to you, seeking a better way forward for our world. We pray that we work towards protecting the people and places at risk, to safeguard every creature and habitat, and to continue caring for a world waiting for future generations to take in the majesty of your perfection. Generous God, you have gifted us many skills and talents, making us capable of so many amazing things. You have given us the power to love, the power to forgive, and the power to serve. Call upon us, direct us to those who need your love. We pray for those who are sick, those who are isolated, for victims of violence in their homes and their communities, and for those struggling to live each and every day. Inspire your people to work together, upholding one another with mercy and compassion, just as you have through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 764, There's a Spirit in the Air. The words will appear before you on the screens.
Go forth from this place and serve. Make disciples of all the nations by serving as an example of Christ's teachings. Share the grace, show the love, and extend communion to all people. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit fill you with joy and lead you onward, now and evermore.